Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 reads this way. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your church here in your house. Lord, asking you for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and truth, that you might again, Lord, be highly exalted and glorified and lifted up in our lives, and that you would empower our lives to be the witnesses and the testimony of your grace to one another and to the lost, Lord, that we might see souls saved and baptized and discipled for your honor and glory. We ask you as the Lord of the harvest to do a work, Lord, that only you can do. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "Keep Thy Heart." Keep thy heart. Now, the text tells us exactly why, because out of it says, verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And what we're talking about really is keeping our heart in the wisdom of God. And we'll see that here in this text here in just a moment. So tonight we're going to have just basically three, four thoughts here, and that is the right kind of wisdom, and then getting wisdom, and then wisdom is the principal thing, and then of course an ornament of grace. So four thoughts tonight, but we're talking about the wisdom, and the word philosophy. You hear people talk about philosophy is defined as, I think it's via the Greek through the Latin, is the love of wisdom. But there's different kinds of wisdoms, is there not? So I want to have you hold your place here. We're going to just go to the New Testament for a moment. But hold your place here in the book of Proverbs chapter 4. And go with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 4. And I want us to just take a look at the Word of God and what he says about the right kind of wisdom, because there's more than one kind of wisdom. And again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And notice what it says here in the Word of God. It says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of" what? Man's wisdom, right? Do you see that? Man's wisdom, "but in demonstration of the Spirit," and we see that that word Spirit is capitalized, which is signifying the Holy Spirit, "and of power." Notice that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that power, of course, is the power of the Holy Spirit. So he says this, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not in the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." So the wisdom of this world never profits to spiritual things. It never really brings true fulfillment in life. It never really brings honor to the Lord. So there are things that the world looks at that impresses the world. And I think the things that impress the world are beginning to, impress the world less and less, right? So what glorifies the world? What impresses the world? Well, it used to be the Academy Awards. What should I say about that? I don't know. And then we have all these different awards that are given that really are from the world. And you look at the people and what they're doing in their lives. I mean, you find really the digression of the world society. It used to be that people that were involved in acting, they were a little bit more dignified. Not that they didn't have problems and not that there weren't scandals, but my goodness, it's just almost kind of the expected norm today. Athletes at one time, you know, they were something, but now, my goodness, they're found in murder, they're found in just a lot of crazy things that they're involved in. Maybe that's been right along, but it's coming out more and more. And so the world really doesn't have a lot to offer the child of God. And so Paul is saying, in fact, it's all the way back, even during the time of Paul, don't be caught up in the world's wisdom, is what he's saying right here. And then notice something else here.
In verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of who? Of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So this is going to glorify the Lord in our lives, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, who was responsible for that? Who was caught up in the world's wisdom? Well, the Pharisees were. Who else? Well, we find the Romans were all caught up in that as well. And so when we consider the princes of this world, they didn't even know when the Lord was right in front of them. So we need to guard against that. Notice this here, right here in chapter 2. Look at verse 9. And it says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So we can talk about the future, what God has for us. But this is talking about what God has for us even right now. Notice, but God hath revealed them. These things that he was written about, that eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither's entered into the heart of man. These things of God that have been prepared for those that love him. But God hath revealed them unto who? Us, believers. He's revealed them unto us. And notice how? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And then he says this, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And these last two verses are important. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. There's that word wisdom again, that philosophy. Not the worldly wisdom, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, why is the Apostle Paul writing this letter and writing these things to a scriptural Baptist church? Amen? Why is the Apostle Paul writing these things to one of the Lord's churches? Well, because if we're not careful and if we're not keeping our hearts before the Lord, we can drift off into that philosophy. We can try to discern things in our natural mind, with the natural realm. And here's what we'll come to, ready? Here's what the natural man says concerning the spiritual things, ready? I can't do it. What's the use? I can't do it. Now, that's not faith, is it? Faith says, God said it. You ever heard this one? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You ever heard that? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. There's a problem with that order. Ready? Here it is. God said it, that settles it. I believe it. Amen? God said it, that settles it. Whether I believe it or not, it's still settled. Amen? And so we want to be careful that we don't fall into that and be locked into that, because that will hinder our spiritual growth. God, listen, that's why God said, look to me. Don't look to yourself, because if you look to yourself, you're not going to go very far, spiritually speaking. You're going to look to what you can and cannot do, and we will miss what God wants to do for us. And so God's saying, please, don't use the natural mind. Look at the Word of God, look at the promises of God, and adhere to those things, and believe, and ask God to strengthen your faith in those things, and then walk in those things. Again, you know, I could sit in a chair and be defeated. I can sit in a chair and say, this is not going to be a good day. Do you think that'll come to pass? Can I be a prophet of my own prophecy? I can this is just not going to be a good day. And I can get up and stub my toe and say, see, there you go. I can get up and just something else, you know, not go right. See, or I can say, you know what? By faith, God holds me in his hands. And by faith, he's going to work out all things for my good. And I can get up and say, I'm going to walk in that truth. I may not, listen, feel like that, but I want to walk in that truth. And that's the faith part. Not so We need to get to the place where we say, I'm not going to go on my feelings or what the world is saying. Man, we can watch the news and feel defeated. Nothing's going right. And then what good will we be to the cause of Christ? Where will the light of Christ shine? Listen, if not in us. Where will the light of Christ and the hope of God shine if not in our lives? God has used us and called us to be his peculiar people because we don't function the way that the world functions, or we're not supposed to. So with that said, let me call you back over to our text in the book of Proverbs. I just want to give you a couple of thoughts tonight. We saw the first thought, and that is the right kind of wisdom. The world has its wisdom, and God has his wisdom. And then notice chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs. Look at verse 5 and 6, and look at what the Word of God says. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Get wisdom. That's an important statement, isn't it? And what kind of wisdom is God's talking about? Certainly not the world's wisdom. Certainly not. He's talking about his wisdom. And then notice this, forsake her not in verse 6, and she shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. Get involved in an intimate relationship with the wisdom of God. How do I do that? By trusting in the Word of God and not leading to my understanding. My understanding will tell me things are not looking good, my friend. I've walked in before into the grocery store and seen a whole section wiped out. Now, I could have just taken a picture of that, and I did. And I could have texted that to my wife, and I did. Amen. But you know what? The next week, guess what? All the food was that back there. Right? So we could get wrapped up in what we're seeing, and it will affect how we're feeling. Or we can look to the Word of God that never changes and always stands true. Who provides for you and I as believers? Is it the grocery store? You know, you got to get tickled today. Even in my day and age growing up, you'd ask a young kid, where do your groceries come from? They'd tell you the grocery store, right? Well, no, it was grown on a farm somewhere. For the most part, well, maybe not anymore today. Today we just make up all different kinds of chemicals and inject this, that, and the other. And sometimes food tastes good because they put stuff in it to make it taste good. But the bottom line is, regardless of what the world is doing, our faith and our trust ought to be in our God. And so he says, get the right kind of wisdom. And then he says, with all you're getting, make sure in your getting of wisdom, don't let it go. Don't forsake her. Have an intimate relationship. So what does that mean? That means that I have to, on a daily basis, say, I am not going to look and trust what the world is saying. Because the world has a message today. And the devil has a message as well. And we're not to look to that. So get wisdom. And then notice what he says here in verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Listen, if wisdom is the principal thing, does that mean it's second place, fifth place, or first place? It's first place. If it's the principal thing, it's first. And sometimes if we're not careful, we don't look at the Word of God as being the principal thing. How's that happen? Well, we can get busy and forget to pick up the Word of God. I challenge you, listen, and I tell you with this thought, and don't push it. Don't push it. Let the Lord work in your life. How? Open up the Word of God for a minute or two. Just make sure that when you get up in the morning, open up the Word of God. It's really the best thing to do at the first part of the day. Give God an extra 5 minutes. Wake up 5 minutes earlier than you normally get up, and give it to the Lord a couple of minutes in the proverb of the day if you'd like, or just flip around and ask the Lord, Lord, bless your word and speak to my heart. And watch what God will do. He will honor those that honor him, and he will use his word to comfort our hearts and to guide our hearts closer to him. So, and then spend another minute or so in prayer, just talking to him. Lord, help me to walk in your wisdom and not my understanding. Do you think that's an important request to be made by the believer? We have a natural tendency to lean to our own understanding. And so we need to guard against that by the grace of God. So he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting. Get understanding. Notice what he says here in verse 8. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. So it's important to be to have this intimate relationship with the Lord. And so, and his wisdom. And that is, again, the principal thing. He's saying, make sure that it's first. Make sure that you have the right kind of relationship. And then notice the last thought. Ready? An ornament of grace here in verse 9. She shall give, listen, to thine head an ornament of grace. Who's giving the ornament? The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. That is, listen, the only way, do you know, listen, God has, have you ever heard this terminology? Foolproof. Foolproof. You ever stop to think about that term? This is foolproof. What are you trying to mean? What do you mean by that? In other words, a fool couldn't even mess this one up. Amen. And what's foolproof? Or is it foolproof? Here it is. Ready? Listen. God has set up a way for you and I to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Tonight, do you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant?
Amen.
When you see from the lips of your Savior, when you see him face to face, if you want to hear that, God has provided that way, and that's Jesus Christ. But listen, that's such an easy thing to say, Jesus Christ. What does that mean, Jesus Christ? Don't lean to your own understanding. Look to him. And by faith, expect him to fulfill the promises he's made. Because that's how he works. God is honored by faith. We want to intertwine that word with the word trust. So, Lord, I am trusting you. Listen, stop and think about the impossibility of bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Right? The fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, all the fruits of the Spirit. Which one do you need in your life? Well, what? All of them. All of them. Which one will you need tomorrow? Do you know? Well, yeah, you need all of them, but you don't know. You might be confronted with somebody that will try your patience. So maybe long-suffering. Maybe somebody that will need your gentleness. But here's the truth. We don't know what we're going to need tomorrow. But the Lord does. That's why you always find that what we need is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Lord. And God has given to you and I all of the fruits of the Spirit in him. So we don't need these individual fruits. We need the Lord because we don't know what one day is going to bring forth into our life. We can't, listen, it is an impossibility for you and I to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, if we're going to look to ourselves to perform the things that will honor and glorify the Lord. First of all, we don't have the strength to do it. We don't have the strength to do it. Don't ask me how I know that. I've tried it more than once. I have. I want to honor and glorify the Lord, and I don't do it. I don't do it. But then when I don't try to do it and expect him to do it, it's a whole complete different ballgame. Listen, we are prone to wander back to ourselves. That's why Paul crucified his flesh annually, right? Quarterly, four times a year. How often did Paul crucify the flesh?
Daily.
You know why? Because that old flesh wants to get in the way. And in between you and our Savior. And so we need to be careful. That's the wisdom of this world. That's the strength of the flesh. And the Bible tells us that the flesh profits nothing but the Spirit. So when we look to that, God is wanting to give you and I the light bulb, the aha moment, the wow factor. In other words, I didn't know that. I didn't know it could be that easy, but that happens by taking God at his word and not looking to ourselves. Now, I tell you how it works. But it's not because I didn't try harder, but it's because I depended upon myself. I can know that here and not make it 2 feet out the door and fall flat on my face if I turn back to myself, if I look to myself. I will let the things, if I see people and if I see myself, I will let those things frustrate me. But if I can see God, in other words, God's work taking place. So remember this, when Joseph's brothers came to him, and after Jacob died, hey, listen, you know, our father said, forgive your brothers, right? Forgive them. Don't. They thought that Joseph's going to take care of them now. Now he's going to get even. And remember what Joseph said? Oh, listen, you meant it for what? Evil. But God meant it for what? How did he see that? Who was he seeing? Was he seeing his brothers? Or was he seeing God? He saw the Lord. So we have to discipline ourselves to see God. No, we just have to rest that God is in control. That's a whole different perspective. Lord, I don't want to see people. That's our tendency. And then we'll get mad and we'll get frustrated and we'll get short-tempered and things just won't go right. People will just make you mad. Is that true or is that just in my life? People will just make you mad. Brother George, I didn't know that happens. Well, does it happen in your life? I'm not superhuman. I'm just the same. I experience the same things that everybody experiences. And so either we're going to keep our eyes by the grace of God on the Lord and see him at work, or we're going to get frustrated. Well, listen, the brothers missed it. Joseph's brothers missed, and listen, they had already been given mercy when they came to when they stood before him before Jacob came to Egypt. And I think Jacob lived another 17 years. Listen. For 17 years, the brothers, I think, were thinking, what happens when dad dies? For 17 years, they were thinking, we're in trouble when dad dies. For 17 years, they were thinking, Joseph's going to get even with us when dad dies. Do you believe Joseph gave that one thought? Did Joseph forgive them truly? And I think he forgot about it. In fact, the Bible tells us it grieved his heart when his brothers came up to him with that. Right. Maybe Joseph realized for 17 years, you guys have been living with that? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph was looking at who? The Lord. Even with Potiphar's wife, Joseph saw the Lord. And Joseph was in the right. It's one thing when you're wrong and take it patiently, but when you're right and they're lying on you and you take it patiently, that's the grace of God. Do you see the difference? Who are we seeing in our everyday lives? You can't see people. You have to see the Lord. The Lord knows what you and I need. That's a hard pill to swallow in the strength of the flesh. You don't understand what this person did. No, God allowed. God works all things for my good. Amen? God works all things for my good. Amen, Brother George. God works all things for your good. No, for our good, for the believer. Amen? God works all things for our good. That would be a good verse to rehearse, amen, and to memorize and to meditate on. In Romans 8:28, God works all things for our good. So who should we see in our lives every day? We ought to see God. Praise the Lord. We ought to see the Lord. Joseph kept his eyes on the Lord. And did God bless Joseph? Let me ask you this question. Joseph kept his eyes on the Lord, and God blessed Joseph, but did God also bless Joseph's family? If we will keep our eyes on the Lord, God will bless us and bless our families. I think that's important. Your life, your soul, and your family is important to God. Amen? And then not only your life and your family, but your church family is important to God. You believe that? Not only your life and not only your family and not only your church family, but the lost souls are important to God. Now fathom this. God loves the world. But his choice instrument and only instrument that he has chosen to use for his honor and glory are his people. If we can't see Jesus in our lives every day, don't expect the world to. How do I do that? By putting your faith and trust in the Lord. God, that I might see you. That I might see you. When do I start that? Today. But you don't understand. I've failed the Lord in that. Join the club. Can any of us do anything about yesterday? Shall we fret over it? Can we do anything about tomorrow? The only time we have is when? Right now. Moment by moment, in step with our Savior, keeping our eyes on Him, and then praise Him when He gives the victory. Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm saying this for me. You have to say it for you. I'm going to take you at your word that you have promised to make me a royal priesthood, a peculiar person, a people that honors and glorifies you. You have made me the branch to abide in the vine and to bear much fruit. And you've also told me that I can't do that without you. How many of you already know that? Can't do anything without the Lord. How about let's do it with Him? How about, better yet, let's let Him do it for us, in us. Amen? So tonight, keep your heart. How do you do that? In God. In His wisdom. Not looking to the world. We cannot overcome the world without the Lord. We cannot overcome ourselves without the Lord. We can't see Christ. We can't see God working out all things for our good without Him. And God says, if you'll keep your heart in His hands, He even says in the Proverbs, my son, give me thine heart. Best place to put it. Put your heart in my hands, and I'll take care of it. And I will cause you to desire and seek after the things that will honor and glorify me, and bring peace and joy and fulfillment and contentment in this life and in the life to come. Imagine that. Can you trust the Lord to do that? Tonight God says, then come. Amen? And prove me. And see if I won't bless you. And be true to the promises I've given you. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and the promises that you've given to us. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts and minds here at Northwood. To those that are here and your people who are not able to be here, that you would do a work in our hearts, that we would take hold of your truths, Lord, and not let go of them. And Lord, that you would draw our hearts closer to you and empower our lives to glorify your name. May we look to you and not ourselves. Bless the invitation, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.